This is a story about a basketball game that I played in 45 years ago in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And the Coatesville part's important because when I was growing up, Coatesville was a very scary place to me. I was raised in Westchester, which is a really nice little town about 25 miles west of Philadelphia. We actually had a malt shop and a 5 and 10 and a movie theater that was made for Westchester, New York and mistakenly shipped down to us. Coatesville was 10 miles to the west of us, and it didn't have any of those things. It was an evil town. There's not anybody here tonight from Coatesville, is there? No? You are? Well, keep an eye on that person, please. If they make any sudden movements toward the stage, push them back down. Coatesville had a couple things. They had a large steel mill, which everybody in town worked at and made the whole place kind of grimy and gloomy. And it had streets pitched as steeply as those in San Francisco, so that when you came into town from certain directions, it was like you were rolling down into hell. My fear of Coatesville began with my mother. Yeah, that's funny. Actually, all my fears began with my mother. My mother was an often unkind woman, and when my brothers or my sister or I would make her mad, which was daily, she would threaten us with lifelong exile in one of three Coatesville institutions. They had the county prison, they had the poor farm, and they had the state mental hospital, or as my mother in her indelicate way always called it, the nut house. And the nut house actually did kind of scare me because my mother had me convinced that they had this patrol wagon that randomly went around the county, and if they saw you out on the street acting stupid, they would stop the wagon and men in white suits would jump out and they'd put you in the wagon and you'd go live in the nut house. So I avoided the nut house and my mother by playing sports for hour after hour, day after day, season after season, until by the time I got to junior high school, I was actually a good athlete. And not realizing that that was the one thing that was going to take me to Coatesville a couple times a year for the next 6 years. Coatesville and Westchester had the best teams in the area for decades. It was probably something to do with the difference in the towns, but it was a really nasty rivalry. And over the years, people actually were frightened to go to Coatesville. My first experience with the rivalry came when I made the junior high basketball team in seventh grade. Our bus came into town, rolled down into hell, and we pulled up to an old brick building, and we went in, and it seemed as if it was deserted, but actually it wasn't. When we came out of the locker room, we found that actually the entire school was massed in the gymnasium waiting to see the Westchester boys. When I say gymnasium, I mean loosely a gymnasium. We found that actually we were going to be playing the basketball game in an old swimming pool. They had drained the water out of it and hung a couple baskets at each end and painted some lines on the floor. And when you went into the game, you had to run around through the crowd and check in at the top. And then you had to run down stairs, which were in play. So it was kind of an unnerving situation made worse by the fact that all the Coatesville fans ringed the railing at the top and spit down on us. Which I actually don't blame them for. It's kind of like an irresistible temptation. You have these people you despise standing right below, and so they just sort of did that. I didn't get hit with spit. I was 70 pounds and I moved a lot, so I stayed in the center of the court and I was okay. We actually played pretty well that day, and we lost, but we played well, and I thought next year when I come back, I'll be prepared for the swimming pool. So in eighth grade, the bus rolled in, down into hell, right on past the brick building and out of town, up a hill to a brand new junior high that Coatesville had built. Brand new gymnasium. We thought, this is going to be good. We may do all right today. And of course, I was wrong. It was the worst beating I've ever been a part of. Coatesville decided they would play a full court press for the entire game. and we just weren't ready for it. So we dribbled the ball off our feet, and we threw to the wrong team, and we threw to the wrong person. And with about a minute to go, we were behind 56-12. You think the stuff that's not funny is funny. That's not funny. We're behind 56-12. And actually, it was worse than it sounded, because we played four-minute quarters. And we had just beaten a team like the week before, something like 9-6. So 56-12. And there's a minute to go, and the coach looks over, and he wants substitutes. And all of us who've already been in the game give him the look away, just you know, like when you're in class and you don't want to get called on. Something else is going on interesting. So he had no choice but to send in the third team. Well, the third team in junior high doesn't really have any reason to exist. I mean, they don't. The reason there's a third team is so that five sets of parents will be very happy the day their kid comes home and say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I made the basketball team." And then those five same sets of parents will be all bummed out 2 months later when they realize their kid's never going to play. And in fact, at our junior high, the third team barely played in practice. But they wanted in this game. And so in they went, including the 15th man on the 15-man squad, Billy Rose. Billy Rose was a bad basketball player, and he looked even more absurd. As the 15th man, he got the 15th choice of uniforms. So he had this old jersey that was like three sizes too small, and these balloon pants that were four sizes too big that looked like you better not catch an updraft or Billy Rose was gone. So the ball goes up and down the court a few times in the last minute, and finally Coatesville scores for the final time with 7 seconds left, and we bring the ball in under the basket, and we throw it in to Billy Rose, who starts to dribble up court, and suddenly a light goes on in Billy Rose's head. This is the only time I'll ever have a basketball in an organized game. So he speeds up his dribble, and with about 2 seconds left, I see him stop, and his knees begin to bend. And the light goes off in my head, and I said, "Oh my God, Billy Rose is going to shoot from half court with 2 seconds left in a game we're losing 56-12. So you gotta figure the light over Billy Rose's head's pretty dim. But it's not dim enough, because a Coatesville defender has seen it. And he figures out what's going on, and he gets a running start from 30 feet away. And as the ball arcs out of Billy Rose's hand, this guy came flying through the air and beat that ball back at Billy Rose with his fist like a volleyball spike, so hard that Billy Rose actually had to duck out of the way. So I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm thinking, this is the most humiliating thing I've ever seen in my life. In fact, I've never seen anything like it again. I've been watching basketball for 45 years since then. Who gets snuffed at half court, right? So I draw an immediate lesson, which is sports can be as merciless as anything else humans put their hands on. Sports can even be as merciless as my mother. And over the years, as I relate the story, I always tell it for laughs, because I caught some of my mother's unkindness genes, and Billy Rose to me is like the king of fools. But then my mother died about 17 years ago, and because of that, and with the good example of my wife, I've become just a little bit kinder. And so I've started to rethink the lessons of Billy Rose, and I've realized now that sports is the best institution that we have in modern life. It's the only one that allows us to pursue, measure, and celebrate human excellence for its own sake. And to get there, you have to play as hard as you can for as long as you can. And in basketball, it says, until the horn blows, try and put the ball in the basket as many times as you can. And that's all Billy Rose was trying to do. Billy Rose was right about another thing. It was the last time he ever had a basketball in a competitive game. He was cut the next year. Not because he got snuffed at half court, but because he really was a lousy basketball player. But before he left us, Billy Rose got to do the one thing that day that none of the rest of us on the bench got to do, some that day and some ever, and that is to take our best shot. And so a lesson probably learned a little too late, but I know now that the next time I'm in Coatesville and the coach looks my way, I'm going in. Thank you.